You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence
Taylor! Every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Monday morning to you and yours. To say there's a lot to get into today would be a tremendous understatement. We go till 8 o'clock. We could go till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning and have enough to discuss. I mean, you got the Nets and the Bucks, and the Nets all sorts of banged up now. The Islanders, I'm sure Rick is going to be in a great mood today. Islanders go down to Tampa and win game one. You have the Yankees who, I guess you could say, stink at the moment. The Mets, questionable with what they do with their bullpen yesterday. Djokovic wins the French Open in a phenomenal weekend of tennis. So much to get into. Let's say good morning. Hi, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. Great weekend. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm a little frustrated with the Mets, to be honest with you. But you know what? To win two out of three against San Diego, I can't be too disappointed. And Rick, you just have to be on cloud nine this morning.
TGFI, Dave. Thank God for the Islanders. That's all I got to say. Oh, feels good. Game one, Tampa. House divided. I'm getting sent pictures of everyone. My whole other side of the family with Tampa jerseys on, pre-gaming for the game, trying to talk Milo and Ella into rooting for the Lightning.
Can they be
no,
swayed?
No, no,
can they
no,
be
there's
swayed?
No chance.
Is there any way that Milo can be gotten to?
No, not at the moment.
No?
Not after the Islanders won game one. Now, what happens in game two, I don't know. But so far, so good. He had the jersey on. He had the hat on. He was full bore. A little chest bump in action. Actually sat down and watched some of the game with me, which was nice. It's good stuff, Dave.
Yeah, well, you should be very excited. You should be in a great way. I mean, guys, we have a ton to get into. 800-919-3776. Yankees are a disaster. We'll get there in a couple minutes. Islanders certainly as well. Let's start with the Nets now. We were saying on the show Friday that even though Milwaukee won Game 3, they weren't going to win the series, and they looked awful in winning Game 3. And I got a ton of tweets yesterday. See how wrong you are? You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, if you would have told me that Harden and Kyrie were not going to play for the bulk of Game 4, yes, I think the Bucks now do certainly have a chance solely, and I'll say this and I'll be honest, solely because of injury. But you know what? That's part of the game, and now we sit here at 2-2 in the series.
Isn't it amazing, though, how quickly things change?
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's crazy because, I mean, go back to Game 3. I mean, Chris, Dave and I spent a lot of time on Friday talking about it. Like, I actually felt better about Brooklyn's chances to win the series after watching how, you know, Game 3 unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
In a loss, you felt better about it. And then you knew going into last night's game, I mean, it's role players at home play better. And, I mean, the role players, especially yesterday for Brooklyn, were bad. I mean, Joe Harris has been awful, awful in Milwaukee. And, you know, you take that and you couple it with the fact that, you know, Kyrie goes down and the whole team just seems like they're deflated. I mean, that's, I don't know, man. This is, I guess the saving grace for Brooklyn is that you feel like going back home, two of these next three are in Brooklyn. So you feel like that supporting cast will be better. And maybe, fingers crossed, you get back James Harden. I have a hard time believing the way that that injury looked with Kyrie that he's going to be back anytime soon.
Did you see what the ankle like the still shot of the ankle?
Yeah, the bone touched the floor. Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. I was surprised that the x-rays were negative. I mean, it looked really, really ugly. And in real time, I didn't think that it was flagrant by Giannis. But listening to Mark Jackson and the crew talk about it, I mean, I can understand why they feel that way, because it was an aggressive play by Giannis to position himself for the rebound. And you just hate to see the complexion of a series change because of an injury to Kyrie. Like, with James Harden on the floor and Kyrie Irving, it wasn't going to be a contest. Like, we were saying that coming into this, that it could potentially be a long series, but after the first couple of games, you were like, you know, Milwaukee would be lucky if they got a game. But now that you're seeing this Nets team without somebody as the primary ball handler to orchestrate it, without that superstar, it's a difference, man. I mean, listen, as much as I think Mike James is a great story, it's different if you're talking about relying on him to be your primary ball handler for the entire game, for the entire series. And I thought yesterday, especially in the second half, the Nets had trouble being able to get into their half-court offensive sets. And as a result, you saw all the turnovers. The Nets had 17 turnovers that resulted in 25 points for the Milwaukee Bucks. So, I mean, this is a problem for the Nets, no question about it. If they're not able to get James Harden or Kyrie Irving back, I think that opens the door for the Milwaukee Bucks to actually win this series.
I mean, the offense in the second half was pretty much, let's force feed Kevin Durant the ball and see if he can make anything happen. I mean, the scoring in the third quarter was him. I mean, he scored or assisted on, I think, 18 of the 21 points. And the third quarter was him scoring the basketball. I didn't score in the fourth quarter, and I understand you could see his frustration. But, I mean, even with Kyrie, that game was going to be a tough game. I mean, you saw how physical the game was, right? I mean, that's what Milwaukee is trying to do.
Yeah, that's their game plan. We're going to go out there and play like the Knicks in the heat of the mid-90s. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, and then the second you lost Kyrie, I mean, you lost that other superstar, that other option. And Chris, you mentioned, you know, Mike James, like these supporting guys in, you know, certain roles are very effective. But all of a sudden now you elevate them to, okay, now you're going to be
that's right.
Now you're going to be the guy. That's not who they are.
When everyone has to take that next step up, right? Listen, you have three star players. You now have one star player. So now Joe Harris has to elevate to, you know, the next step up, and James has to elevate to the next step up. When those are the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh options, those are great options, right? When Blake Griffin becomes your second best offensive player, you're in big trouble. And listen, I don't think we're you know, splitting the atom here. If those two do not come back, it's difficult to look at Brooklyn and how they possibly win the series.
Well, I imagine, listen, here's the thing. And PJ Tucker did an awesome job with
locked him up.
Locked him up, right? Great job. And I think that's, you know, when all of a sudden Kyrie's out and guys aren't making shots around him, you can focus all your attention on, you know, trying to shut down KD. I would imagine going back to Brooklyn, KD's going to have a big night. Like, you know, KD scoring somewhere close to 40 wouldn't surprise me one bit. Now, Brooklyn's going to have to rely on the fact, okay, now, you know, we'll know, because it's always tough. Chris, you know this. Like, when you, like, you're, I mean, your game plan is set around having Kyrie and KD. And
yeah.
All of a sudden, you lose Kyrie, you know, things change. And that, I mean, that, let's be honest, like, emotionally, that can be deflating. Like, oh, God, again, and now we got to deal with, you know, we just get Jeff Green back, and now we lose Kyrie. So now they can spend, you know, leading up to the next game, to game five, you know, if I don't think Kyrie's going to play. I have a hard time believing Kyrie's going to play.
How could he play? He left the arena on crutches yet.
In
I don't
walking
know.
Boot, yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. Maybe Harden comes back, but at least you can game plan. The hope would be this, Dave, is that those role players, like Joe Harris is the perfect example, right? Joe Harris in Milwaukee was...
Joe Harris has to be better.
Joe Harris was 4-19 and scored 11 points in Milwaukee. At home, he was 12-23 and scored 32 points in games 1 and 2. So maybe that, I mean, that's... And you even saw yesterday, the role players for Milwaukee in Milwaukee have been better. Like, P.J. Tucker had a good game offensively. Connaughton chipped in. Like, I mean, you know, Forbes had a couple threes. Like, those guys were better in Milwaukee. So, I mean, I think the same thing can be said about Brooklyn. And now all of a sudden, you know, going in, okay, we're not going to have Kyrie. And maybe we don't have James Harden. But this series has taken a complete... I mean, if you're a Nets fan right now, with how you felt after game three, or after those first two games in Brooklyn, you feel the complete opposite of that right now.
Yeah, it's kind of strange because we didn't know whether or not the Nets could flip a switch in the postseason, and these guys, because they didn't have a lot of games under their belt where all three of them were playing together, we were wondering what the chemistry would look like in the postseason. And the chemistry wasn't the issue. The question is whether or not they were going to be able to stay healthy enough to go on a run and win the chip. Because, I mean, you got to find a way to be able to win 16 games. And I guess we should have trusted the regular season and known that that was always going to be a question mark. But, I mean, to lose James Harden early in the series because of a hamstring and now Kyrie Irving because of an ankle, I mean, this is just something that falls in line with all the data points that we've had all year long, which tell us that the Nets are going to struggle to stay healthy. And it's a team that's built around those three superstars. And if you take two of those away, you don't have a lot of depth that you feel like can step in and being able to support the one superstar that you yet still do have. So, I mean, this is the result of what the Nets decided to do before the season started. They said they were going to go all in with these superstars. They traded for James Harden, and they mortgaged a lot of their depth, a lot of their pieces, in order to create a big three. And now you're seeing the risk that comes along with building your team that way. If you have a couple of injuries to those guys, you're in a very compromising position. And right now, they're on the ropes.
Isn't it amazing, though? I mean, the guy that's still kicking, he was on pace to play almost the entire game. I mean, if they kept KD out there, I mean, he's playing close to 45, 46 minutes. The guy coming off the career-threatening Achilles injury is the
right,
last
he's
one.
He's the one guy left standing here.
But isn't that crazy, though? But again, that's when you start talking about postseason, and I don't care what the sport is, why each game is so important, because you never know what's going to happen. Like, that's why, I mean, you kind of like, oh, it's game three, no big deal. It was a game that they could have won, but you know what? It's fine. They'll bounce back in game four. Like, Joe Harris won't be 1-for-11. Like, there's too much offense. They'll score. Like, KD will shoot better. Kyrie will shoot better. They'll be fine in game four.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now all of a sudden, Kyrie's hurt. Series is tied 2-2, and you're like, I mean, if you're a Nets fan, you're a little bit panicked at the moment.
Yeah, I think you have to be panicked. But let's be fair. I mean, the only reason, at least in my opinion, the only reason this is even a discussion is because of the injuries. The Nets are so much better, and you saw that in the first two games. And Harden didn't even play in the first two games, and they destroyed this team. The only reason this is any semblance of a series right now is solely because of injuries.
Well, that's why they say, Dave, in order to win a championship, you got to be lucky and good. I mean, the Nets are clearly good. I mean, you can make the argument that we've never seen this kind of collection of offensive talent on one team, but you also have to have, you know, a little bit of luck when it comes to being able to stay healthy. And this team has been snake bitten all year long. And, you know, when you start talking about the big three only playing eight regular season games together, it's just one of those things like, okay, we're saying that once they get to the playoffs, they're going to be healthy. They can flip a switch. That did not happen, Dave, in terms of them being able to stay healthy. Yeah, they elevated their play, especially on the defensive side of the court. But in terms of them being able to stay healthy, I mean, we're seeing it this series. It's still coming back to bite this team. And I don't know that they're going to be able to get past that. That's the biggest question.
Sports karma, Dave. That's what this is, sports karma.
You know what? It's true. Not playing in that Philadelphia game, right? Resting all the guys, doing it all season long, not worrying about seeding, not worrying about anything besides we'll be fine in the postseason. You're right. And you know what, Rick? I bet you there's a lot of people out there in NBA circles that are not too upset that this is happening at the moment.
Well, no. I mean, here's the thing, though. I mean, you never want to see it happen because of injury.
Nope. No. You're not
never. But you're right.
For
like, I mean, no, because we've said it the entire time. Like, if this Nets team rolls through the postseason the way it felt like, I mean, they were going to roll through the postseason after the first two games of this Bucks series, and then win a championship, it would. I mean, that spits in the face of everything you've been taught about what it takes to win a championship. Like continuity, like experience. I mean, you know, taking the regular season, taking the regular season seriously, like all the things that that you would say, okay, these are the things that you need to win a championship. They're like, nah, no big deal. We got talent. We got the three best, you know, three of the best players in the world. We'll be fine. And that's now they only have one. That's what they're down to is one. It's Kevin Durant. Let's see, you know, if the pieces around him can step up when they go back to Brooklyn. Because if they don't, I mean, this is.
If they don't win game five and those two guys don't play in game six, this series will end in six. But can you stop with the people before the series who really loved Milwaukee, though? Can we stop with that? Because the only reason we're sitting here where we are is because of injury right now.
That's it. That's the only reason.
If those two guys are healthy, this series is done.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah, because especially, I mean, you feel like at some point you were going to get James Harden back, too. James Harden may play in game five. I mean, they say they don't want to rush him back, but it sounds like he's getting close. But here's the thing, too. Like, yesterday was going to be a tough game, right? Like yesterday was going to be, I mean, it was going to be physical. You saw how physical it was. It was going to be a tough game regardless. Like, if Kyrie stayed healthy that entire game, if he didn't get hurt, it was still going to be a tough game. But the second he rolled his ankle and was out.
Yeah, you knew it was over.
Yeah.
You knew it was over. Here is Steve Nash. He was asked, when will Harden be back? Here is the answer.
I don't want James to be rushed back. If he's able to play next game or the game after, that's fantastic. If he's not, I don't want to rush him back and jeopardize doing something worse or making this a long-term injury. So we'll see. We'll have to take all these things into account and evaluate them and try to make a smart decision.
I get you don't want to rush him, but I mean, if the guy's close to being able to play, you have to play him, no?
Well, I don't know. Here's the thing, though. I don't know if you can like, – you guys tell me. Do you feel comfortable with – with the Nets coming back to Milwaukee down 3-2, that there'll be a game 7?
No. No.
Okay, so, I mean, that puts an emphasis on game 5. Like, if he's close, I don't need to see him play, you know, 38 minutes in game 5. But, I mean, if he can, you know, get back and at least run the offense a little bit. Because I don't think Mike is as good as Mike James is in his role. I don't know if that's who he can be.
No, no. If you got to rely on Mike James to play north of 30 minutes a night, it's not going to be good for your team. If he's your primary ball handler, if he's your starting point guard, you're going to be at a deficit compared to what the Bucks are going to do. So I mean, it's just I just feel like in order for this team to make this a series and to be able to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals, they got to have one of those two guys come back, whether it's Kyrie Irving or James Harden. One of those guys has to come back and play in multiple games in this series.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's that simple. I agree with you, Chris. I think it's that simple. If one of those guys comes back and is healthy, Nets are going to win the series. If that doesn't happen, Milwaukee wins the series. And I think it's actually that simple.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I said, I think last week, when the Yankees were 5.5 games out, they're starting to get themselves in trouble. And you guys did not want to hear that at the time. We're now a week later. They had another horrendous week. They got beaten up in Philadelphia. Starting pitching has been bad now of late. Can we revisit this at 8.5 games back as we hit June 14th, Chris?
Dave, it's called being in denial. I didn't want to hear it last week when it came to the Yankees' struggles. I was just hoping that this team would find a way to be able to pull out of this nosedive just because some of the pieces on this team, some of the talent that's been assembled, like you feel confident that those guys are going to play to the back of the baseball card. But, Dave, I mean, we're halfway through the month of June. We're not talking about being in the middle of May or the middle of April. I think we have a large enough sample size to realize that this Yankees team is just an average ball club. 65 games in, I mean, this is who they are. They're one game over 500. They are a mediocre team that has some serious warts. And I don't know how they get it together, man. I mean, after a Chapman meltdown on Saturday and, you know, Jameson Taillon being god-awful, I think he threw 34 pitches and only was able to record one out. I mean, you had this parade of relievers, which probably led to Aaron Boone staying with Domingo Germán a little bit longer than he should have yesterday. And as a result, the Phillies and Gene Segura made them pay. And it's just one of those things that, you know, I'm getting tired of talking about this team's struggles. I'm getting tired of them talking about not being fundamentally sound. At some point, something about that has to change if the Yankees want to get where they want to go. Because it's getting late early when you start looking at the division standings and looking at how many games back behind the Rays they are.
Well, now, and headed into, I mean, what makes it worse is now you're headed into Toronto.
And then you have Oakland.
Yeah, but I mean, did you see what Toronto did yesterday?
Yes.
When they hit eight home runs?
Yes.
I mean, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is one of the best players. I mean, he's one of the best players in baseball right now. Like, he's having like an MVP caliber season right now. I mean, Dave, you said it. I mean, that's the biggest thing recently because, I mean, fundamentally, this is not a good baseball team. They're not great defensively. They're awful. You saw it again yesterday with Odor, who's a veteran player. I mean, there's no excuse for that. I mean, they don't run the bases well. they hit way too many double plays. The starting pitching has now been a problem, right? I mean, that was the one thing when the offense struggled that was keeping them
afloat.
They
were so good.
Starting pitching was great.
But you had to – listen, Kluber goes down, and you had to think that at some point the starting pitching was going to take a step back, but that the offense and the bullpen would now have to carry them, and that's just – it's just not the case.
Yeah, but you didn't think Domingo Germán was going to be as bad as he was yesterday, though, Dave.
No, I mean,
through the first 11 batters, he allowed 7 hits. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I don't know how the Yankees get this fixed. I mean, now the starting pitching is starting to become a problem, and that gets compounded by being able to give the opposing team extra outs because you're not sound defensively.
I mean, although Gleyber Torres has been a couple the last couple days has been he's been a couple awesome plays defensively. I mean, he saved that game Saturday.
That was a great what the play up the middle.
Play up the middle. He's, I mean, he saved that game. Unfortunately, you're losing the. At least you fought in that game. You know what I mean? At least you fought back.
LeMahieu
in that game.
had you know big hit in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Had the 3-1 homer, but Tyone was awful. But see, but that
horrible.
But that's what happens, though. I mean, that you know, it's baseball. This is why every single day, like you know, it's like what happened with Tyone now affects you all of a sudden on Sunday because he only got one out. you got to rely on your bullpen to get you 26 outs. Okay, now how does that affect Sunday's game when Chris mentioned it?
Yep, you got to ride with Herman longer than you should have.
Longer than you want, and he didn't have his. I mean, he was bad. He was not good at all. And then Nola was awesome, and I mean, he pretty much shut down the Yankees' offense. And when you can't hit, you look lifeless, which is one of the big. I mean, that's one of the big things we hear from Yankees fans when they call in. Is this team is it's boring baseball? They're not fun to watch. It looks like they got no heart. They're lifeless. Which is, I mean, let's be honest, Dave. I mean, me and you are both Mets fans. Mets, they're night and day as far as the amount of energy that they play with.
That's right. And the Mets get contributions from all these guys that you expected nothing from. I mean, Jose Peraza's and Billy McKinney's and just, you know, up and down the lineup, they get production from these type of players now.
But, Dave, that was the Yankees a couple of years ago. Remember when they had all of the injuries and they just kept plugging guys in and kept rolling along and winning baseball games? I mean, we've gotten away from that. I mean, it feels like we're so far removed from a team that has that kind of mentality, that kind of culture in the clubhouse. I mean, it was a next man up type of thing, and the next man up was actually producing. Now, this season, this Yankees team, I mean, it's just it's bad. Like the guys that step in, they don't look like they belong on the baseball diamond. And then on top of that, the guys that you're expecting to perform come up short. At some point, something about that has to change. You can't take turns being the culprit on a different day. Like, at some point, you have to be able to rely on the guys that you're supposed to have in the lineup to be able to produce. And then the guys that are filling in every now and again have to be able to surprise you with some performances. And the Yankees haven't gotten either of those. And then on top of that, the starting pitching, which has been good up until this point in the season, feels like it's starting to break down.
But that's the biggest difference, though, right now with the Mets and the Yankees is, you know, the guys that have Mets. That's one of the things that you know Sandy Alderson wanted to make sure he addressed. And you couldn't, I mean, you can't foresee the amount of injuries that the Mets have had. But they have, I mean, they got legitimate Major League Baseball players
on
their bench.
VR is a backup player. Peraza is a backup player, you know? I mean,
Pilar's been great.
Yeah.
I mean, you name it. I mean, guys have, but they're like, McKinney's been awesome, but they're legitimate. I mean, those guys, the VR, Pilar, those guys are legitimate Major League Baseball players. Like, hopefully, you know, Luke Voigt's back. I mean, he's doing his rehab assignment now. But you've got no production from first base at all. Zero. I mean, look at your outfield yesterday with no Judge. Right? Like Andujar, I mean, he's in there for his bat. But, I mean, you see it. He's not a good left fielder at all by any stretch.
And you can't.
Frazier continues to struggle.
Yeah, Frazier's been horrible all year. You can't even play Stan. I mean, you lose this heartbreaker on Saturday. You're on the road in a National League park on Sunday, and you can't even give it a thought that he's going to play in the outfield and get that bat in the lineup?
He's strictly a DH. That's what he is.
I get it, but boy, and I know it's not fair to make him the poster child of all the problems with the Yankees, but if I was a Yankees fan, that would drive me crazy. I can't get one game in the outfield from this guy? One? With a day off coming on Monday?
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. You play him one game, you may lose him for a month. That's the mindset. You know, we play him one time because we're desperate. All of a sudden, now he ends up pulling a calf or something else, and now we lose him for a month.
But, Rick, the guy can't play a game in the outfield? One day?
You're preaching to the choir, Dave. That's why it made no sense when Brian Cashman did it. And I don't care that he was the National League MVP. You already had that. Aaron Judge, that's what you had. You had Aaron Judge, who was, I mean, that's the exact kind of player that he is, was Stanton. And now he can't play the outfield at all, and you're paying him a ton of money for the next 6 years, so that's not great. But look at me, look where we're at. I mean, when they picked up Rougned Odor, I mean, there was a question as to whether or not how you know he would make this. Like, how long would he be on this team?
Yep,
he's batting third for you now, right? Like, even that's
Gardner's
his level
in the lineup
of importance
every single
now on this team.
You're right.
He shouldn't be playing.
No,
he should not be playing.
Not on this team. He shouldn't. Let's, no, it really it's amazing. I mean, they are. This has to be by far the most disappointing team in baseball this year. There's not even a second at the moment when you look around the league.
No, from where they were at, I mean, everyone thought the best team in the American League, not just the division.
Not even close. Like, hands down the best team in the American League.
Do you see what their playoff chances are at right now?
Just to get in as a wild card?
And just play out. Yeah, not division winner. I mean, just playoffs, period.
You have a percentage? Is that what you have?
Yeah, there's a percentage.
I would say, Pecota, Chris, when we did it last week, they were still at like 93 wins. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to say the Yankees to be a playoff team is...
I'm not going percentage!
No, I am. Is 60%.
46%.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's but precipitous, though. Like, June 1st, I think they were, what, Chris, 71%?
Yeah, it was somewhere around there.
And now we're already at 46%.
Right, so less than 50-50. Well, it's really amazing. Let's go to Sean and Ronkonkoma. But good morning, Sean. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, fellas, morning. I'm with you guys, man. I'm going a little, I've bent a little bit. You know, a couple years ago when they constructed this thing, this team's not supposed to have a hole in the lineup at all. And now you're struggling to scratch a run. I mean, you haven't had production from, you guys touched on it, Clint Frazier all year. He's been under 200. I mean, when's the time to send them down and maybe, like, rethink, Frazier a little bit, maybe send them down and, reinvent his stock a little bit. And Urshela as well, man. Urshela hasn't been hitting the ball at all in first base as well. So I'm frustrated with Marcus Thames. I think they need to reevaluate him. And I think we need some answers from Brian Cashman. So, he's reminding me of Dave Gettleman. He's hiding in the backgrounds, and then Boone's taking all the slack because of it. So,
yeah, but Sean,
I don't know,
but Sean, but who are you replacing Clint Frazier with at the moment?
At the moment, all we have is Andujar. We'll have to make a trade, but I don't know. So, we'll have to wait and see.
You need starting pitching help is what you need. I mean, especially now that Severino just looked like, you see the video of that.
Unbelievable. He gets hurt on the mound. It looks like, a groin? And now God knows what he's going to be like.
Yeah, and Tyone, he's not. I mean, you say what you want. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Do you really want to go trading or mortgaging assets for this team?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think you want to do that.
Is there a piece that you look at, like a player, a piece that you say, if we get that, all of a sudden this turns around?
No, I don't think you just look at one person and say, this is going to turn around. I mean, you're going to rely on what you have. Like, you're going to hope that, DJ LeMahieu turns into the DJ LeMahieu we've seen over the last couple of years.
He had a good weekend. He's been better.
Yeah, he's been better. But for the most part, I mean, he has not been the same guy, right? Especially with runners in scoring position and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I mean, Gleyber Torres, I don't know if it's a change of approach, if it's the baseballs, whatever it ends up being, but, I mean, he's hit, but he doesn't hit for power anymore. I mean, Urshela's been, he's been pretty good. He's been consistent. Mm-hmm. Gary Sanchez has been better, right? Gary Sanchez is coming around offensively. But, I mean, you need Judge, because he's been your best offensive player.
Gardner's in the lineup every day. Brent Gardner cannot be in your lineup every single day. He's just not that kind of a guy anymore. Clint Frazier's not hitting 200. We used to talk about, 6-9 in the Yankees lineup is, look at that, it's murderer's row, it's the best in baseball. It's not. It's just not. You get down to the bottom of that lineup, first of all, the top is not as daunting as it once was, and the bottom of the lineup stinks for the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't think anyone disagrees with you. I mean, offensively, they have not been good this entire season. They haven't been. I mean, you played 65 games. There's been 34 of them when you scored three or less runs.
Mm.
This is supposed to be one of the most potent offenses in the Major League Baseball. That's what this team is built to be. And that's not what it's been by any stretch. And now, to make matters worse, the guy who's been, probably your best player consistently for the entire season, Chapman, has had his struggles over the last couple appearances.
Yeah. Yep.
It's been ugly, man. I mean, it has been ugly. Outside of that one stretch, that 23-9 stretch, this has not been, I mean, this Yankees team has not been good.
It was a terrible start in the last couple. What's their record in the last, 14 games?
Dave, they've lost 13 of the last 18 games.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's not great. But, I mean, if we're playing a blame game, why are we wanting to throw in Marcus Thames under the bus? I mean, this is Brian Cashman's team. This is the roster that he constructed. I know you got some guys out due to injury, but still, this is the team that he put together. and everybody was expecting that this team would be able to contend, not only to win the division, but to win a championship. And right now they seem like they're so far away from that. I don't understand why everybody wants to blame Marcus Timms or blame Aaron Boone, where I feel like the lion's share of the blame belongs to Brian Cashman. I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, I mean, I blame him. I mean, that's him, how the team is constructed. You got to blame the players as well. I mean, they have to perform. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, because there's no, I mean, Dave, you said it earlier. Like, who's the guy you bring in or players you bring in?
Honestly don't think there's one guy that you could go out and realistically, like Mike Trout, healthy Mike Trout, sure. But, I mean, realistically, you could go out and bring in right now that all of a sudden would change the fortunes of what this team is. The guys that you have here need to start producing.
There's not enough versatility with this team, is what annoys me the most. Like, they're a one-trick pony, is what they are. I mean, this is if this team isn't hitting home runs, they're not. I mean, they'll be hard pressed to score runs. They're not overly athletic.
That trick isn't even working now for the.
Well, yeah, but that's the problem, though. They're not overly athletic. They're not athletic at all, really, at all. I mean, they don't run bases well. They're not a threat to steal bases. Defensively, they're below average. I mean, what do they do well? Tell me what they do well.
What do they do well? Their bullpen has been good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll wait.
But this is an offense that's supposed to live off of extra base hits and home runs.
Yeah. I think I'm done. I think if you said, what do they do well, I would say their bullpen has been good. And that's about it. And for a decent part of the season, their starting pitching was good. But now Kluber, who was really good and getting better, is out. And Tyone, who, let's be fair, has been a disappointment, continues to be. And Herman has not been what you thought he would be. And even Cole, who's terrific, if you look at their record in games that he started, it's not all that impressive. So, no, I would say the bullpen, and I would leave it at that right now.
You only scored more runs than one team in the American League. Would you care to guess that team?
The Tigers?
That's it.
It's a good guess.
Yeah, it's a really good guess. You scored 9 more runs than the Tigers.
Thank you. You want to hear from Aaron Boone, who got a little testy yesterday?
Yes, let's play that one.
You want to hear that one? Is that the one you want to start with?
Yeah, I like that one. Get Canty real panic. Get some. Is there any glass around Canty? Because I don't want to start breaking it.
No, he would shatter it.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay away from sharp objects right now, especially when I'm watching Yankees games.
Probably in your best interest. Yeah. Is the team starting to get content with losing?
No.
Why not?
I know them too well, and I don't think there's any getting used to freaking losing. Hell no. Get the hell out of here with that.
Angry. Yes.
Why not? What do you mean, why not? You play to win the game. Ain't that what Herm Edwards said? Oh, that was a ridiculous question, but it got the reaction that that reporter was looking for.
Do you have any other answer besides what Aaron Boone just gave you? You pretty much just should say, I should be fired today.
Yes, 100%.
If your team is complacent with losing, that's not great for you as a manager.
Are they content with losing, and why not? What do you mean, why not?
But here's the thing, though. They just don't, like, when they're winning, all we do is pray, you know, it's the Yankee way, how professional they are. But when they're losing, it's not, I mean, they don't play with any joy, any excitement. Like, they don't have any of those guys. I mean, I guess Odor is kind of, I mean, can kind of be one of those guys. But it's, I mean, everything is so serious. It's like playing with that guy in golf that, like, needs to, he's counting every single shot, and he doesn't smile, and he's so serious. You know, kind of, you got a 2-foot putt, and you're like, is this good? He's like, no, you're going to have to putt that. It's like, what do you mean I'm going to have to putt that, man? I want the guy that wants to play the radio and have a couple beers and play golf.
They're like the Russians of the early 80s in hockey.
It's painful, though. There's no joy. They don't look like they're enjoying what they're doing.
Not even a little bit.
When you're losing, it's awful. Like, as a fan, it's like you're sitting there asking yourself, like, do I care more than my team cares? Because they look like they have no interest right now. Now I got to see Judge and Stanton sitting on the bench.
Right. Now he's got back spasms. God knows how long he's going to miss.
Oh.
At least they're
off.
Which
I have
today.
No problem with. I mean, he's been their best player.
I know, but it's
but
always
something. You don't know when he's going to be out of the lineup, Rico. It's always a surprise with Aaron Judge. We only find out stuff after the fact when it comes to the injuries that he's dealing with, the little, you know, nicks and bruises. And you just don't know how long it's going to keep him out. And you get frustrated as a fan because you realize how important he is to this team, especially with what the lineup has been doing outside of the guys at top of the order. So, I mean, it's one of those things that, as a Yankees fan, you hold your breath and you get tired of having those types of moments on top of your team playing bad baseball.
It's really gross. So we'll get to the calls in a moment. Rick, this is for you. Sit back, put your feet up. The Islanders are home for the semifinal round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you have the chance to score tickets to Game 3 on Thursday night. Visit NewYorkIslanders.com/ESPN to fill out an entry form and get ready to bring the noise to cheer on the Islanders. All entries must be received by noon on Tuesday, so you must enter soon. Again, visit NewYorkIslanders.com/ESPN. for your chance to win. We'll get to the Islanders in the 6 o'clock hour. Let's go to Steve on the cell. Steve, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
I don't know why
Uh-oh. Sounded like he had really good points to make, but the cell, and I said it's Steve on the cell, and that cell was just not productive. It was like Yankees at bat. Guy on third, one out, Steve on the cell. That's what the Yankees bring to the table. Thank you.
Hitting to a double play?
Yeah, thank you.
You know what's amazing? Listen to this for a second, right? Like, okay, when you're not hitting home runs in baseball, Dave, I guess you coach baseball, you're the GM, but I mean,
GM.
You're always around baseball.
GM.
Okay, you know how much I still play baseball. I love baseball. Like, if you're not doing what your team was built to do, but this isn't any sport, though. Like, the great teams have versatility. Like, okay, we're not hitting home runs, we can do other stuff, right? Like, you know, we can... No, potentially, you know, we can steal some bases. We can, you know, go first to third, whatever it ends up being. Like a lot of the stuff that the Rays do, right? Like how they're built. Like a lot of stuff the Red Sox are doing now. How about this for a number? So right now, if you're not hitting the home runs, right, is we talked about the runs. They've only scored more runs than the Tigers. They've hit into the most double plays, which just, I mean, that kills you, destroys you when you hit into that many double plays. Running the bases, as far as outs on the bases, they're the worst in Major League Baseball, and it's not even close. They're horrendous. Odor again. Defensively, we said, below average. Tampa right now has an 8.5 game lead in the AL East. Tampa's total defensive run saved is 54. Yankees are -5.
Oh, my God.
That's a humongous difference,
Humongous difference.
Like, when you're not bludgeoning people, which they're supposed to do, like, those are the little things that become huge issues for your team. Like, all those things that you don't really talk about when your team is bashing the ball over the place because you're winning, like, become a real problem when you're losing.
Yeah, they become glaring when you're losing. When you're winning, you can hide those things, but not now. Not now. Less than a 50% chance to make it to the postseason. Eli in Washingtonville. Good morning, Eli. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, listen, a lot of us Yankee fans have been calling in, like, since last year, saying that Brian Cashman, I think Brian Cashman is a GM that he is overrated. You know, I know you guys throughout the winning seasons and giving up, you know, that he went to the playoffs, these seasons went to the playoffs, fine. But look at this train wreck and this embarrassment. Like, he didn't learn his lesson from Jacoby Ellsbury when it came to signing guys to contracts that are injury prone. And then he goes in and signs Stanton. Listen, this is an embarrassment.
He traded for Stanton. He actually traded for Stanton.
Huh?
He traded for Stanton, who had just won the won the NL MVP.
Yep. Yeah, but you just stated he was another judge.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you, but I wouldn't put, but you're making, I don't think you're making a fair comparison. I wouldn't consider Jacoby Ellsbury and I wouldn't consider those two the same.
No, they're not the same, but it's still going to be a contract that, as a Yankees fan, you're not going to feel great about, and you're locked into that for the next, 6 years?
Well, you don't already feel, the time they picked it up, I didn't feel good about it, but
yep,
this is where we're at.
But that's not how Yankees fans felt. Yankees fans were excited about it.
Because it's the big shiny toy.
Yeah.
And you go, another guy that's going to hit 50 home runs, add to the allure of the Yankees. And, you know, I don't think there's a lot of people that really sat there and diagnosed the fact that this guy now clogs up your DH spot.
What he does is huge, too.
Financially, it's a huge number. They will not go over this, you know, this luxury tax number anymore. So, yeah, you have real problems here. I mean, and this is not something I think that's going away soon. You have legitimate problems here with the Yankees.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I didn't know what happened. I just saw on Twitter the scariest thing that I've ever seen. Like, that was pretty much the theme of what people were putting out there. And then I got in front of a TV later in the afternoon on Saturday. That was, I mean, bone-chilling. I'm not a soccer guy, but I'm a human being. The Denmark player, Christian Eriksen, who they actually said was gone, was on the verge of death, they announced yesterday. That was, Rick and Chris, as terrifying, not even a sports injury, as terrifying a moment that I've seen on live TV as I've ever seen. That was awful.
I don't think, again, I mean, it doesn't, in my opinion, I mean, is it especially, I mean, you know, having played, having, like, you know, teammates that have had, you know, injuries, like some, like, serious injuries, to see a teammate like that where it was, I mean, that was, it was it. I mean, you read afterwards, they had to defibrillate him. Like, he was, his heart stopped. He was.
Yeah, no, the doctor said, quote, he was gone, was the quote from the doctor directly. Awful.
I couldn't even imagine being one of his teammates, being a family member of his, watching that game, to see that happen. No, I mean, no. You never even, because you never even imagine, like, when you're on the ice, the field, whatever, like, that is the furthest thing from your mind that something like that could potentially happen.
Yeah, that's scary as hell, dude. I don't know what you do. Like, as a teammate, I don't know how you're supposed to react with that. I mean, yeah.
You just pray that somehow the doctors are able to bring him back.
And they did.
And he's fine.
You know what I was thinking about, Chris? Thank God it happened the way it happened. I mean, that you're walking around your house and that happens, you're dead. Thank God it happened on the playing field, that the doctors were right there and could run on and help him.
No, you're right about that, Dave. But, I mean, just moving forward, like, that's one of those things that shakes you. Like, you just don't bounce back from something like that. Like, yeah, I mean, just his teammates, everybody that's in that organization, like, that's one of those things that's going to stay with you. You can't just bounce back from that. You're not just going to move forward after something like that happens. That's scary as hell.
Well, they finished the game after.
I know, Dave. That's the crazy thing about
it. Once they realized, like, once they knew he was stabilized, I mean, actually, I think he actually was the one that said he wanted them to finish the game. If he's not stabilized and if he's still in, like, critical condition, there's no way that game is, they're not playing that game. They're not going to finish that game.
No,
there's no chance. I mean, Dave, remember when Jay Bouwmeester collapsed on the bench?
Mm-hmm.
And they had to
And they did the same thing with him?
The same thing with him.
Yep.
And then one of the first things that crossed my mind with that is that part of coaching now is that we have to be, like, we take, you know, training for all this stuff.
Are you're CPR certified now?
Yeah. That was the first thing that came to my mind. Like, God forbid, if something like that ever happened, in that moment, would I be able to handle it?
I got to be honest, and I mean this sincerely. You know, I give you a hard time. I would think that you would rise to the occasion. I really believe that would be the case. I think if something like that happened, you would take control and you would save the guy. I do.
And I would hope so. I mean, that's my hope. I mean, that's the reason why you get the training and everything else. I just know in that moment, like that's where it's now happened. Like, it's, and you got to give those, I mean, you give the trainers and everything tons and tons of credit to react the way that they reacted.
They saved his life.
Yeah, but to be one of his teammates, I mean, and you saw what they did. They kind of, you know, formed a circle around him so no one could see what was going on.
Oh,
like, that's
nice.
What I mean. But you saw it, like, and those, what people need to understand, too, is the reason why, you know, Chris and I always talk about, you know, team chemistry and culture and everything else is because this is no word of a lie. You spend more time with your teammates than you do your own family.
Mm-hmm.
And those become your brothers, man. That is. And to see one of your brothers on the ground like that, and he's a young guy. I mean, that's the thing about athletes, too, is that what makes you who you are is that you think you're invincible. Like, there's nothing that can hurt you. Right? And then all of a sudden it becomes real like that.
But I think that's any young person. I mean, he was 29 years old. When you were 29, you sports are not. Like, I just think that young people think they're invincible, period.
No, I listen, I don't disagree with you, but I'm not talking about young. I'm just saying, like, these are grown men. And we have this, like, this thought process where there's nothing going to stand in our way. Like, that nothing's going to happen to us. That if we do get hurt, a doctor will fix us and we'll be back. And that's, I mean, that's to have it all of a sudden now happen on the field to one of your brothers. It's like, that wouldn't be, I could imagine that would not be something that I would be able to handle very well.
Yeah, it was awful. I mean, really, like, I'm. You don't have to be a soccer fan just to be a human being and watch that the other day. And just, I mean, that was, that shook me. It really did. And I think everybody listening felt, Exactly.
But doesn't it, you know what I think makes it worse, though, too, is it's like, and it is, I think it's any kind of athlete, is that, like, even the Kobe thing, I think, was like that. Like, you don't expect stuff like that happen, like, stuff like that to happen to certain people. Like, to have a guy his age have an incident like that where he just goes into cardiac arrest and just, you know, collapses the way that he collapsed, it's like, well, he's in unbelievable shape. Like, if something like that could happen to him, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's... That also adds to why it shakes you so much.
It was gruesome, and it looks like he's going to be okay, and thank God for that. Rick, your Islanders. Now, oh, for God's sake. So are you going to do that every time, Sandy?
Yeah, play it, Sandy. Play it. Give me a goal song. How about a goal song?
Really?
What do you mean, really?
I mean, am I going to have to hear this all? I mean, this is awful. This is my worst nightmare. So, the Islanders now, because the last thing I had, like my last line of defense, I'm like, well, at least I have the Lightning. And now they go out there and they beat the Lightning in Game 1. Now, I still don't know that the Islanders win the series, but to say that I think every Rangers fan is not really concerned would be an understatement at the moment. Can you please turn this thing off, Raymond? Please, thank you.
See, that's the thing, though. We sit here and talk about how poorly constructed the Yankees are right now in the moment. We can focus and highlight how well put together this Islanders team is.
It is phenomenal. They're a tough team, and I don't know that they have a weakness right now.
When they play the way they played last night and Tampa showed up the way they showed up, I mean, we said, you know, a couple things the Islanders needed to do when this series was stay out of the penalty box, which for the most part, I mean, the Nelson penalty was late. For the most part, they did that. Score first, which they did.
Which they did. That was a bad second goal, right?
Awful. Oh, dude, he won't. I mean, to see him letting a goal like that. I mean, the Red Sea's parted. There was no traffic in front.
No. And I remember you on Friday, you said, if he can see any shot, he will stop it. Well, he saw that shot dead on, and that was just brutal.
Well, for the most part, he did. He was awesome in that game. I mean, Vasilevsky made some unbelievable saves in that game. I mean, the second half of that first period, the Islanders carried most of the play in the second half of that first period. And the other big thing, too, was that, I mean, that penalty kill to start the third period was humongous.
It was.
Because if, God forbid, Tampa scores on that power play, momentum into the third period, completely different game.
Completely changes. Can we say this? I felt like this, and now I'm not even sure. Did Tampa just not play well yesterday as well? Is it fair to say that
or no? It
was
both.
Okay.
I think they lacked urgency, and maybe it was overconfidence, whatever you want to call it. And then the beauty of the Islanders, is, especially when they score first, but in general, is they make you uncomfortable because they are physical. You can see it. I mean, Sergachev didn't know what the hell to do. He was turning the puck all over the place. Stamkos got benched because he turned the puck over, which led to that first goal. But it's like there's so much skill on Tampa that they want to be creative. They want to, you know, make that extra pass. They want to go east to west. And what the Islanders do is they say, no, that's not what we're going to let you do. If you want to go north-south, chip pucks in, be physical, forechecking all those things. Well, yeah, you can try to do that. It's going to be tough, but you got to commit yourself to doing that. And Tampa did not show the commitment to do that. It's like, it would be like a running back like Saquon Barkley, right? Is he's always looking to break that big run. He wants to dance. And if we take that away, we say, hey, okay, we'll let you try to run between the tackles, but you got to be committed to try to run between the tackles. And if you want to do that, because it's going to be hard, you can do it, but we ain't going to make it easy. And that's what the Islanders do. They make you earn it. If you want to play hard nose and chip pucks in and do those things, okay, we'll let you do that, and it's going to be tough. But we ain't going to let you make the pretty plays and go cross ice and everything else, because we're going to feast off that stuff.
Yeah, and you didn't see a lot of that yesterday. Kenny in Jersey. Kenny has a question for you, Chris. Good morning, Ken. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Now, I didn't really have a question. What I was going to tell Rick is, I'm 100% down with his Islanders, even though I'm a Rangers fan.
My man, Kenny.
You're a fraud, Kenny.
You are the worst.
Kenny, you are the worst kind of fraud. Oh, no.
Give me
there.
The welcome aboard.
No, you're pathetic. I don't know how you look yourself in the mirror, Kenny.
Give it to me, Sandy.
Let me tell you how, Dave. Dave, check it out. You know how Rangers is. Dave, don't go on me like that. Look, the Islanders is easy to root for. It's not like they're the Brooklyn Nets. Well, you know, they got the super team and all that. They real easy to root for.
Feels good.
Kenny, the players on the Islanders, the way they play, the way they're coached, the GM, all of it, easy to root for, very likable. They're the Islanders. If you're a Rangers fan, you are not allowed to root for the Islanders. That's it.
Nah,
period.
That's
end of sentence.
Absolutely not true. That's not true.
You could not be more wrong.
Dave,
I love it, Kenny. I'm done. You can,
I love it, Kenny. Don't let,
I'm done
Kenny, don't let Dave judge your fandom.
I can judge your fandom.
Jump
it's
on.
Like saying, oh, you know what? Yeah, I'm a Giants fan, but you know the Cowboys are so likable. They're just, you know, it's a likable bunch of Cowboys
players.
That's not
the same thing.
No,
it's not the same thing at all.
It's the exact same
thing.
No,
it isn't. It's like a Giants fan saying, you know, I'm going to root for the Jets. It has nothing to do. You're not rooting for the same team in. You're not rooting for someone in the NFC East.
Well, they're in the same division.
That's a great point, Dave. They are,
they
in the
really?
Same division.
They're in the same. This is why I have a hockey show. Yes, they're in the some kind of Mass Mutual division. Yes.
Mass Mutual.
Yes. It's the exact same thing.
But it's a little bit different, though, because it's the same. But it's more like because it's New York. It's rooting for a New York team is what he's
so,
saying.
So, all right. So then if the Yankees were to go on some red-hot run and get to the World Series, you now root for them, right?
No, I don't.
Well, why?
Because I choose not to.
Exactly.
But I don't look down at Kenny for deciding he wanted to be an Islander fan.
Well, because he's joining your bandwagon, but you should.
Yeah, which
it's an
he should.
Awful life choice.
Welcome aboard, Kenny.
No, disgusting.
And welcome aboard. How many times do I have to say it, Santiago, before you play the clip?
And welcome aboard.
Thank you. God almighty.
He doesn't. He's got music going.
It's
he's got
amazing
cool songs.
To me.
He's got yes, yes, yes is ready to go. He's stressing about.
Oh no, he gets in my ear.
Stars.
I said welcome aboard 15 times, and he's like, "What do you want?" I'm like, "Play the clip." He's like, "What do you want? The song?" No, I don't want the song.
He doesn't know what's going on. He's got too much sleep.
There's a lot to process there. What do you want?
God almighty.
Give you the goal song. I give you the yes chance. Unsatisfied.
You'll probably give yourself the second star now.
Under. He's got to
probably give himself the second
star. In the next hour and 15 minutes.
Although, I mean, the three stars is a cluster anyway. I mean, I don't even know what he's stressed out about.
Wow.
Wow, he says.
Clearly, you're not going to get one. You're not putting your best foot forward.
As long as the Islanders get one. Islanders should have the first star. I think it's
debatable. I thought it's the... Raymond, can you define what three stars is?
It's whatever I want it to be. How about that?
Oh, wow. So you're God when it comes to three stars, huh?
Wow. This is what you put on my plate. This is what I'm doing.
Wow. It's whatever I want it to be. I kind of love that, though.
This guy has some balls lately, I'll tell you that. He's got that. I mean, this guy, he just... Ever since the Knicks and Rangers have been over, it's like a different guy.
He's got too much sleep. He doesn't know what to do with all the sleep. He's sleeping 4 or 5 hours a night. He's completely refreshed and rejuvenated. He doesn't know what to do with himself.
Off of 4 or 5 hours of sleep.
Right?
Wow.
He's an animal at this point. I mean, I don't know how hard he's dealing with this.
Uninterrupted.
Egomaniac. I'll do whatever I want with the three stars.
All right. It's now time. Let's go. It's Chris's time to shine. It's Kenny or can't he?
Everyone's favorite. Can he or can't he?
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
I'm not sure I like this hostility. I'm also just sitting back and watching all of it.
Yeah, you got some popcorn, RJ?
You love it.
We remember how last week went for you.
It's a week to forget about. It's a new week. And here we are. I will start with this, unrelated, but I had this stat about the Islanders. 127-55, that is the all-time record of teams that take game one in the conference finals in the NHL. Good sign for the Islanders.
I don't know why not to say that.
A little bit of optimism.
And how about when they do it on the road?
Well, I'll get my people on that. My people, I'll have to do
back
it myself
to the
after the segment ends. Also today... 23-year anniversary of an absolutely iconic moment in sports. If you don't know, I will tell you in a couple of minutes.
Oh, we know. Wait, what year? What anniversary?
The 23.
That's not what I'm thinking of then.
Well, I have this source, ESPN Stats and Info.
Because I'm thinking June 14th, 1994, which will be, 27 years?
Well, there's multiple things that happened today.
This is a big day.
This day's happened many times.
Yes.
But the one I'm talking about is, I'm not underselling it, iconic in every sense of the word. So, you guys spoke about it earlier, the Yankees, some quick numbers for you. Lost 7 of 9, 13 of 18. They're in fourth place, guys. 8.5 back in the AL East. That's the furthest back they've been in their own division since September of 2018. Can you tell me you expect the Yankees to make the playoffs?
Nah, I can't say that, RJ. I can't say that I expect them to make a playoffs. Now, do they still have a chance to? Absolutely. And they still got a bunch of games against the Boston Red Sox. But as we sit here today, they're 4 games back from the second wild card, and they're 8.5 back from Tampa, who has the best record in all of baseball.
I mean, we said it. If we get to the end of this month and you're talking about the Yankees being double digits back for the division lead, I mean, it's starting to get late early. So, no, we can't say that we expect the Yankees to make the playoffs.
Oh, boy, I love this question. Can I say that I expect them to make the playoffs? Yes, I can say I expect them to make the playoffs. And I hope that we look back at this answer 3 months from now and say, you're such an idiot. How could you have said that? But yes, I just, until the Yankees are dead, buried, the dirt is poured on them, I always think they find a way. So I will say, yes, I still expect the Yankees to make the playoffs.
Wow. See, I can't tell what you're doing now. Yeah, but I think he's doing it on purpose now, is what he's doing.
Yeah, he's saying that in hopes that he's wrong and they'll be disappointed.
Because it's a win-win for me now.
But if he's right, then it's like he's Roth Adonis.
That's right. It's a win-win.
And welcome aboard. No, I got to be with Chris here. I mean, the way they're playing right now. Don't you guys feel like Cashman's going to do something, though? Even if it's not a big move, don't you feel like he's got to do something?
But what could you do? What is there?
And they need a center fielder. I'll tell you what. They need a center fielder. That would be something that I'd do immediately.
So they bring in Marte from Arizona, and all of a sudden the fortunes change?
No, I don't think it all of a sudden, like, fortunes just automatically change. But I definitely think it changes something. Like, something needs to be changed.
Stop getting thrown out on the bases is probably one.
That would help.
That would help.
Double plays.
31
BPs in baseball are not great.
And other things Rick would tell you they're probably... All right.
Hence the
you can't even finish your own thought.
Jarvis Landry said over the weekend that Odell Beckham Jr. looks, quote, amazing after his knee surgery. So I ask you this. Can you tell me that Odell Beckham Jr. is still a top 10 receiver in the NFL?
No, I can't tell you that. And I just did a quick list, and yeah, Odell is outside of the top 10. I got Devontae Adams, Nuke Hopkins, Steph Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Justin Jefferson, and Michael Thomas. So Odell is not a top 10 receiver right now, no.
Rick, I don't know if you see what's happening, but forget about the question. I am distressed beyond reproach. They're telling him the questions beforehand.
Yeah.
He's doing research that he can come up with. He has enough time. He knows the questions. He now does a list of who the guys are, where for us it's like, all right, you have 3 seconds. Is he a top 10 receiver? I don't need all this time.
Oh, it's
I don't
Canty, need to make Canty, Dave. Canny, Canty.
I understand.
Mean, it's my featured segment. Why can't I shine? I'm just saying.
Well, let me
live, Dave Rothenberg.
I think some spontaneity would also be attractive in this
moment.
We
got a little bit of that mixed in there, but I mean, I wanted to come up with a list for top 10 receivers. I wanted to be definitive. There's nothing wrong with that.
I would say, I cannot say that he's a top 10 receiver at this point. I'm not going to give a list because I haven't had the time to prepare it, but I will say he's not a top 10 receiver now.
I agree with that. I agree with the both of you. I'm not even sure if he's the best receiver on his team.
Fair point.
Le'Veon Bell made a little news over the weekend.
Oh, God. I was going to save this for an observation.
What a fool.
I have another one. Would you like me to?
No, because he says he's going to save it, and then it's hit or miss whether he's going to remember to bring it up on.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because how lucky are you in your segment? Like, Canty's doing research for his segment. I got to do research for my segment. You just sit down and people ask you questions for your segment. Stop.
Do you understand the stress that I'm under for that segment?
God.
I don't know if you know this, but Dave actually has another part-time job, of which he works as a cruise director, to which he says...
And welcome aboard.
The maiden voyage. Yeah.
All right, so Lev Bell, social media over the weekend. He took aim at, probably not who you would have guessed, Andy Reid. If I would have told you a former coach, probably wouldn't guess Andy Reid. He responded to a comment on Instagram about his time with the Chiefs in 2020 and said, I'd never play for Andy Reid again. I'd retire first. A lot of ways you can go with this, but off the top of your head, can you tell me a player that probably has more regret about leaving a situation and how it was handled than Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh?
I can't think of one, RJ. I can't. And I'm just sitting here off the top of my head. There really isn't anybody that you could point to and you say, I don't know if they've had a precipitous drop-off in production and their impact on their team winning like we've seen with Le'Veon Bell. First going to the New York Jets to chase the bag, and then going to the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, it's been awful the last couple of years for Lev Bell. And that was one of the things that we had talked about, the risk that comes along with leaving a stable organization like the Pittsburgh Steelers at the height of your powers. I don't know. If he had it to do all over again, I think Le'Veon Bell makes a different choice.
I haven't had the 15 minutes that Chris has had to chew on this question, but I would... Without that kind of time to prepare, I would tend to agree. I can't think of a guy that has gone from superstardom to less than mediocrity, and now he's calling out coaches who are considered the best in the business. No, I cannot think of anyone.
Here's the beauty for Lev Bell. He might get to do both. Not play for Andy Reid and retire.
Yeah, that's right.
No one wants him.
He might have his dream come true.
No, here's one. Here's one, because I didn't have the 20 minutes that Chris got to prepare for this. I will give you one, though. Hockey. John Tavares.
I thought you might go there.
There you go. It's a good one.
Yes. We take you out to Disney cruise ships.
And welcome aboard.
I don't understand. What is that? Why am I now the whipping boy for this?
I'm not. It's just a phenomenal drop. We whittled it down to the whole podcast intro, but then you get welcome aboard on its own, and it's something.
No, but here's the thing, though. It's called Untucked. It's not unbuoyed. It's not unchartered. It has nothing to do with sailing.
It was the first ever introduction to the podcast, so I was welcoming everyone.
Are you doing the podcast from a ship?
Maybe, you know what? Maybe that's the long-term goal. Maybe we want to get Carnival involved, and they're going to sponsor, and we'll do it from the rec room on the ship.
And welcome aboard.
All right, answer to the trivia here. I had one more on Nikola Jokic being tossed out of the game. I have a feeling we'll get to that at some point. But this day in 1998, iconic moment. Any guesses?
I think you're bearing the lead here. The iconic moment on this date is 94, not 98.
Okay. All right.
So when the Rangers won the Cup in 94, for us locally, is bigger than where you're going to go some Jordan play, right?
Michael against Russell, 12 seconds, 11, 10. Jordan to Dwight, hangs, fires, yes! Scores! He scores! The Bulls lead 87-86 with 5 2/10 left. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God.
He was so good.
He was so good. he's the GOAT.
Dude, my buddy was telling me that, you know that, you see, Kent, do you know this? You know Jordan owns his own golf course now in Florida?
I did not know that.
My buddy Hainsey was down there and he played it. He said it's craziness. It's like,
what,
like
try Jordan to get on
just,
it?
Well, no, it's just like, there's matches going all over the place. Like, Jordan will come down, like, he'll jump on a cart, he's playing 36 holes. Like, it's just like, it's just craziness.
They have blackjack tables in the sand traps?
Stop.
But that's the reason why he opened his own course, though, was so he could pretty much do whatever he wants.
I would love to play that place. Love his golf bag, too, though. He's got that golf bag with all of the rings embroidered on it. Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, this is going to make me sick.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
He's like America's guest at this point. He's on the K show every day, and now he's awakened early on a Monday, and we bring in one Chris Carlin. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm just calling in to check and see on your state of mind regarding our new little Nets Utah Jazz wager.
Yeah. So should we revisit where we are? Because RJ told me you were uncertain with what the exact wager happens to be.
I was a little uncertain, but I would like to revisit it, yes.
It's simple, and I'll spell it out for you. If the Nets win the championship, which I don't know how I could feel great about at this very moment with the injuries, you owe me and the guest of my choosing a full dinner at Peter Luger's. If the Jazz win the championship, go ahead.
Yes.
If the Jazz win the championship, you will unlock the tape which has been under lock and key for... it was 2007, for 14 years now, for America to
see. And that tape is of what, Dave? Just remind our audience.
It's of me naked holding my infant son when the Giants win the Super Bowl 2007 over the undefeated Patriots.
Yeah, think Rafiki Lion King.
Singing We Are the Champions.
So if we could just... I just want to know, like, how you're feeling. That's all.
I don't feel great about enjoying Luger's. I feel fine about the tape not being released.
Oh, so you don't think Utah's going to win?
No, I'm not concerned at all about Utah. No.
Okay. Not concerned at all. Can we start the hashtag release the tape with every Jazz win / Nets loss? Can we do that?
I like it, Carlin. I like it. I like where your head's at.
So you're fully invested.
I mean,
some people will make a wager like this.
Tonight.
you're fully invested. Some people make a wager like this. Yeah, it'll never come to pass. You are like, you're locked in on every Jazz game, on every Nets game. Like Kyrie went down yesterday.
Oh, no.
You celebrated.
No, Dave, I don't celebrate when guys get injured like you. No. No, absolutely not. I merely want the Nets to be super careful because I think we can all agree the health of these guys is paramount here moving forward. So there's no need to rush anybody back.
I've never wanted to see a man naked more in my life. That video needs to be released.
Okay, we can clip that off, right?
Yeah, that's okay. A drop.
Yeah.
That's a drop. That's a drop.
And here's the other thing. You know, Dave, just as a personal thing.
Yeah.
Like, I do have, and it's not because it's Kay, it's not because it's anything else.
You're another one of these. I know.
You.
Go ahead.
No. I just have a little issue with you going after Kay's wardrobe. You don't see me going after people's diets. You know, did I miss you at the Met Gala last year?
Yeah, exactly. No,
so you can't notice if someone else is obese? Like, just because maybe you don't have the physique.
But I don't make... I
don't understand.
I don't make
first of all, first of all, I don't even think I went after Kay last week.
No.
I don't think I went after him. I think he's
Don
so sensitive that he thought I went after him. I don't think I said anything negative.
Well, the thing I would say here, Dave, is that it's like a few minutes ago when you said you don't think you're a bad guy, but you have bad guy tendencies. Well, I don't think I'm fat. I just think I have, you know, the tendency to make poor choices when it comes to food. Maybe I'm a little delusional about that. That's all I'm saying.
Why are you up so early, by the way?
That's all.
It's not that early. It's 7:30.
Because I'm on my way in. I'm on my way into the seaport. I am going to do Barton Hahn all week.
This is unbelievable. What
time is Barton Hahn on?
Not till noon.
They're on at noon.
You're on your way. It's 7:30. Where do you live in South Africa? Why are you on your way to the studios now?
Yeah, I pretty much live in Pittsburgh, so that's basically what the deal is. Yeah, I mean, you can't predict traffic at all these days.
Well, how long does it take you to get in?
Without traffic, about an hour and 45 minutes.
So if that happens, you'll be in it at 9.
Right.
For a noon.
Yeah.
Guy works hard. He's dedicated.
I understand.
Yeah, you really are dedicated.
I just figured the CPAP machine crapped out or something.
Oh, my God.
Now, listen, if that was the case, I'd be asleep right now on Route 1.
And that'd be bad for everybody. All right, so we got you all week on Barton Hahn?
Yes.
Oh, this is
for
what a treat.
For the next few weeks, in fact, yeah.
Wow. This is a treat.
Multiple weeks. I love it.
Wow. We all win. All right go Nets, Chris.
I do bet you guys.
Go Nets, no Jazz.
And I will see you, Dave. I will text you tonight at about 1 a.m. after the Jazz Clippers game 4.
I appreciate that, and I will return the text at about 4:15 in the morning tomorrow.
Giddy up.
All right, boys. How about that? Carlin leaving extra early to get in for the noon show.
How about with no traffic, it's an hour and 45?
That's a hell of a ride, bro.
He lives near Philadelphia.
That's aggressive. No traffic, 1:45?
Whew. So if traffic, he's looking at a 2.5?
Yeah, that's a long commute.
That's a hell of a commitment.
That's legit.
that's questioning life choices, though, right? Why would you ever live 2 hours from where you work?
That's a good question. Maybe he likes his neighbor. I don't know.
I mean, he must love the neighborhood.
He has to love it.
They must have block parties. I mean, it must be unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, that would get old. Like, I do 3 hours just because I'm stuck in traffic. But if I was looking at 1:45, like...
Like a good
nothing?
Trip? A good trip?
Yeah,
for 1:45? No, I think you're obligated.
Especially at that size? Cramped up in the vehicle for that long?
Well, he probably has a big car.
Did they make cars that big?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.